So we're doing this for like a full 30 minutes?
Yeah, how long are we playing this song?
Well, curiously enough, this song is the song that I play during my new morning routine.
Now, I'm going to be honest. I could play a song like this in my morning routine. It only needs to be about maybe 10 seconds long.
Oh, no, no, no.
Wait a minute. Why are you listening to music for where are the words?
Oh, no. I only play the instrumental version. I don't play the one with the words. I play the instrumental only. The words will throw me off.
Hey, you don't want to lose your rhythm.
Who is listening to music while they're doing their morning routine?
Well, what if you're doing it in the kitchen, right? You got eggs started. You're like, I got to get started. I got to get this down. So you start playing the music and you start going to town.
I feel in a hopeless place.
You know, it's only going to take 5 minutes to hard boil those eggs.
Don't confuse my morning routine with the extended morning routine. Now, there are two very different things.
You just let it build up, and you're like, here's where you're going. You got to time it up perfectly, and you're like, yes, 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 yes. And then... Now I'm ready for a good old-fashioned egg sandwich.
But this song is part of the morning routine.
Can you describe the morning routine then so we can get a recap?
And we might edit it and forget we ever heard it.
Let's see. I get up. I immediately take the dog outside, bring the dog back, put the dog in his place. And then I start my kettlebell workout. That's number one. I got to start my kettlebell workout.
Are you still stuck on putting the dog in his place?
The dog has a
special... No one likes you, dog.
Just talking down to the dog in the corner.
You look stupid.
You are worthless.
Get in the goddamn corner. Get in the goddamn corner.
Kettlebell workout. Put the dog
kettlebell
in the place.
Kettlebell workout. And then I have my cool down / meditation time. Cool down.
This
slash
is not meditation,
meditation
music.
No, no, no. This does not come on yet. This music has not started yet. And then I have my reflection period and gratitude period, and that's where I start playing this song.
Ah, the gratitude period.
And this song amps me up for the day to come.
You know, we haven't done this podcast in a while, and I'm starting to wonder about what he's gotten himself into with the free time that he's been able to get back by not doing this podcast.
Sounds like a lot of jacking up.
By the way, meditating and all that is just a metaphor for mastery.
Oh, right? No. That's the extended morning routine. This is just the morning routine.
Would you say you're building up?
I'm always building up.
He's just building up.
We want winners here.
You smell like a winner.
From days of long ago. From uncharted regions of the universe.
Right! We can't have anyone freak out there, okay?
Well, we'd better get on with it.
Broadcasting live, it's Radio for Winners. Here are your hosts, Tony, Jeremy, and Don. Making time.
Another episode of Radio
Man.
4. Winners.
Man,
I feel like I haven't, you know, it's only been a week since I've last said that, but it feels like about 5 months.
Wait a minute. Who are you doing the show with besides us?
Oh, it's Jeremy, Tony, Don, and my new friends, Horatio and John Boucher.
Horatio not able to make it today.
John Boucher totally out in the parking lot waiting to...
Don, I want to apologize. I owe you a power washer. I have not returned it yet. I went over to Don's about a month ago, borrowed a gas powered.
Why are we?
Well, didn't we use that as a retraction apology music?
Oh,
no, that's a retraction apology to our listener, not the retraction apology to each other. But it's fine. It's been a while. We're a little rusty.
So I got over Don's place. It was late at night. I was tired. I said, Don, can I borrow a power washer? Don said, I have two. I have a gas powered one. I have an electric one. I thought I was getting the electric one, not the gas powered one.
That's not what. No.
I did though. That's what I thought. And then you
Why
said,
Why do you
here.
Have two power washers?
We had an electric one, and that's just garbage. So. We bought my wife wanted for like Mother's Day. She wanted a power washer.
I thought it was a much smaller unit. I did not expect it to be as large as it was.
I've never heard those words in that order.
it wasn't something that required like a trailer hitch. It wasn't industrial size.
Well, I didn't bring my SUV. I brought my Toyota Camry.
He shows up to pick up a power washer, knowing that he has two cars, one of them being an SUV.
Did he say power washer?
I did say power washer. He picks it up in his Toyota Camry. Not the SUV that he has.
Yeah, the one he drove me here in today.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I brought my Camry, and my trunk was full of stuff, so I just decided to put it in the back seat. And I had it evenly put in the back seat, and then Don's like, hey, let me help, because I was having a little bit of trouble getting to fit.
I feel like he's getting ready to blame me
all
for this.
The way through.
And that's Don, what we do on this podcast, Don.
Don starts to tilt it back, and I'm like, okay, well, this doesn't look good, but it's fine.
Well, first off, it wasn't going to fit in the back of your car unless I did what I did.
I think it would have been fine, actually. It was just a matter of
not a chance.
Taking
some
time
with
it.
So you tilted it back, and so it wasn't totally flat in the seat. Is that what we're getting at?
I don't necessarily know if that was not my issue.
Yes.
Don't turn this on me. You were apologizing to me.
So I drive home.
That's when you apologize.
I get home.
I'm sorry that you sucked, though.
It's late at night. It's late at night. Everything seemed fine. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to get it out tonight. I'll just leave it in. I'll get it in the morning. I walk out, step into my car first thing in the morning. I'm like, wow, this wafting smell of gasoline.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, what is this, this gas? And I was like, I wasn't thinking. I was just like, well, it's just because it's a gas-powered thing. It's just going to smell of gas anyway. But it was like a really strong smell. So I went up the back door to get it.
So I smoked and lit a cigarette. And
I pull out the power washer. And there's just a big, huge wet spot on my entire back seat.
Oh, my God.
All of the gas. How many gallons of gas does that thing hold?
It was at least 50 gallons of gasoline.
There was not 50 gallons of
gasoline. No, but he owes me 50 gallons of gasoline.
It was probably about a good gallon and a half. The tank was empty. But that gas was all in my back seats.
Oh, my God. I feel very bad.
Going all the way through.
Your car now reeks of gasoline pretty much forever.
I fixed this. I thought the original thing was just going to, like, wash it out, kind of, and then just... and I noticed that
so he took it to a car wash, and he got the power washer to spray the seats.
Yeah. So I thought it'd be, like, a simple thing, like doing, like, baking soda. It wasn't. It was a very dumb idea. Anyway. So... I noticed it still smelled very, very poorly. I called Annapolis Toyota, and I said, hey, can you recommend any detailers in the area that have dealt with this before?
Did they say, wait a minute, is your Toyota Camry between the years of 2006 and present? And then you said, no. As a matter of fact, mine's a 1994 Toyota Camry.
Like, why are you still
and they went, sir, that is not a safe vehicle to drive on the road today.
So they gave me a number of this guy. I call him up, and he's like, first thing you want to do is you want to get rid of your car. That's what you want to do.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Second, what you want to do, and he was a very nice guy, but he's like, you're not going to get the gas smell out of this cushion, so you got to remove the entire seat.
He's like, shit, I got a whole back seat of baking soda back here. What the hell am I going to do with that?
You can try to remove the seat and try to spray it down, but I'm pretty sure it's not going to get the smell out. You're going to have to do something, either replace the seat or burn the car, whatever you want to do. So I take the seat out. Actually, very easy to get a back seat out of a Toyota. I thought it was much easier than I thought because I have no skill. I'm skilled.
I'm actually, you did that by yourself.
I did. I'm
impressed.
You just lift up on the bottom of the seat and pull.
I've seen Tony fail to put together IKEA furniture, so I'm sure this was a whole week-long process to get the seat out.
So I get the seat out. I just see puddles of gasoline underneath both of the seats. I got all that out. I put baking soda powder, vinegar, and water mixture down. And then I took coffee grains and I covered
the coffee grains is the right term.
I took the grains. I did it.
I said wash, and you're not going to jump on him for saying coffee grains.
I did say coffee grains. I thought it was
coffee grains. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's honestly probably the first time I've ever misspoken.
It's true. You normally are crisp and clean.
So that's yeah. That's so I'm still driving around today without a back seat of my car. But
where is the back seat? Can I have?
It is now it's been thrown out.
Why?
Because
it's just behind his house.
Can I have it?
No.
In the common area.
I totally want
it. It is gone. It was picked up by the trash folks weeks ago.
We could have lit that on fire.
Yep.
I would prefer. Well, actually, you have a yard to do that. Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Do it in the Beat Lab.
So are you apologizing to me for spilling out all my gasoline in your car? Are you apologizing because you have yet to bring back the power washer?
I have not brought it back.
Are you apologizing to me because I am not the one that tilted that thing back in the back seat of your
back.
Car?
I'm apologizing for delay because I did finally get, after I was done being extremely annoyed for about a week with the whole gas situation, I decided, well, I got to at least, you know, I got to power wash the deck. So I go out there, I turn the water on. And I noticed that when I went out back, I turned the faucet, there was no water coming out. I'm like, well, I heard the water turn on inside, but I go out in the backyard, the faucet, there's no water. And I'm like, well, the only thing that's in between this faucet and the inside is there's the shed, the indoor attachment that we have. So I open that up. That has all the water.
Is it just pouring all over the floor?
I had a burst pipe, so I had to... I had a call.
So I got some coffee grains, and I just sprinkled them in there baking powder soda.
Baking soda and vinegar, and it did not stop that leak, so I had to get the pipe replaced. But now that I've gotten the gas reeking car.
Simply saving the money to not have somebody come out and power wash, as just a recap, has cost them a replacement of a burst pipe and a replacement backseat for a 94 Toyota Corolla.
So I finally, I start the power washing this weekend of the deck. And apparently I've done it wrong because there's just weird spots. Because it's not evenly applied.
How could you do that wrong?
I did it wrong. I did it clearly wrong. So I have to now kind of even it out by, I don't know, if it's just extra power washing. I'm not sure.
You're
going to
power wash your deck, clean off your house.
I'm kind of fine with
that. I just see him not being able to get control of the power washer nozzle. Like, he's just
flying
like,
around.
His arms are just like going all over the place because he can't get a hold of it.
Yes, yeah, it's not good. But... I should have it done by this weekend.
All right, so I am not going to be power washing at all this summer. So if any of you know somebody,
well, you have an electric power washer that's kind of garbage.
I'll have it by next week.
Next week.
Yep.
Are we going to record again next week?
No.
I had a similar problem with my car. My cat peed in the car. If you recall, we talked about that several hundred episodes ago, and the car had smelled till about 2 weeks ago, and I finally figured out how to get rid of that smell.
And how is that?
By driving the car directly into a curb at 40 miles an hour and totaling it. So I
wish we had the celebration music.
Did
again.
Not have my car no longer smells like cat pee, which is great. So I've really worked out in my favor.
Great job.
Yeah.
You okay?
I am. I have. I think I've probably screwed up my shoulder for life, but I'm okay with that.
You did that during. It was right after the Savage race. It was a really, really.
It was.
Day.
It was a long day. I got up in the morning and went back to bed and did not run the Savage race, and then I went to an all day concert, and I managed to total my car on the way home from that. And I'm still picking out pieces of glass from my hand to this day.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Wow, the human body is pretty amazing that it just pushes those pieces of glass out.
It does. Well, I thought they were all gone, but then I would scratch my hand and sometimes a piece would come out. Anyway, so I have to buy a new car. There's nothing less exciting than buying a new car, and I want to thank you, Don. This is my thanking you. Tony,
hey,
apologize.
All right.
I want to thank you.
All right.
Yesterday, it was Tony's daughter's birthday party, and you said something to my wife about buying cars, and that restarted the entire process. So we will never have a car.
I let her know that it was...
It didn't matter what you said. You could have just said, I like red cars. No. It's restarted the whole process. I was very careful to say nothing.
Well, you ruined it for me because you said, well, this is her car to buy.
It is her car to
buy. I totaled her car. So you were not involved in that decision-making process at all. And I went through a period of time where my wife had to buy a car that would belong to only her. And she went through all of these... You know, I would deem them to be very reasonable options, only to buy a two-door sports car that only seated four people.
Right.
And I explained that story to your wife. I full-on expect her to have some sort of like a 78 Corvette or like a...
I'm fine with whatever it is. She could come home with anything. I just wanted it to be done so that I could drive to work.
Yeah, no. No. How are you getting there now?
I've just been working from home a lot.
Oh.
I got about a week of leeway on that when they're like, oh, man, that's rough that you wrecked your car, so we'll let you work from home. And now they're kind of like, hey, man, everyone else on Earth can find a way into the office.
Is there a chance that you could, like, Uber there?
That's a long drive. It's a 45-minute drive on a good day.
Well, and plus, so, if you add in the McDonald's stops along the way.
Yeah, I was like, you got to stop McDonald's and Wendy's. I got to get the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want a Frosty and McDonald's fries.
Well, I didn't mean to complicate it. I was just trying to help her
out.
No,
it's fine. I appreciate it.
Do you think that like maybe she could get like a back seat for like an 80, like an 84 Toyota Camry thrown in there?
Just toss it in, just in case.
Yeah.
That would help me out.
We'll try.
CarMax has probably got them laying around in the back somewhere for cars that they no longer manufacture.
So, Don, you mentioned the Savage Race. Jeremy missed it due to the accident, but we got out there.
I missed it due to the accident I had the next night.
I have never seen Don attack that course.
Man.
Like a fucking Navy SEAL. Man. I mean, he just went after it.
SEAL Team 6, I was out there.
And, you know, we were jumping over walls. We were going through the barbed wire. We didn't even roll under it. We went through it.
Your body is spitting out glass. I was inserting shards of glass right into my skin.
That's nice.
Palms of my hands.
So why do we sign up for these things if we're not going to do them, guys?
Well, I don't know. I literally just had a conflict. I want to do it again. I enjoy doing it. No, my daughter had a 5K to run. So I opted not to train at all because I knew that we weren't going to be running the Savage Race. And I was like, well, I ran the Savage Race. I'm fine. Why will this 5K is just a 5K? There's
yeah,
no
but
obstacles.
We didn't run a 5K. We ran like a quarter mile at most.
Don't discourage me from the accomplishment
a year before. Yeah, so for the last 9 months, he has not run.
Okay. Your logic makes, I guess, reasonable sense. But my point being is that I felt that I've done the Savage Race before without prepping or training, and I've been fine. What is a 5K going to do to me?
Well, there's a couple bits of problems with your logic. One we already discussed is that we didn't really run that long. But also, you were running it with other people who didn't train. So everybody looked sad. So you fit right in.
Yeah,
it was fine.
Yeah, that's very true. But this time I ran with a bunch of fifth graders.
And they smoked you, right?
They were, like, lapping me.
Yeah, making fun of you the whole time.
Pretty much. I mean, I was out of breath.
Look at this old queen.
It was awful. It, like, really kicked my ass. So, like, now I'm very motivated to do something. I was texting Tony back and forth, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to get out and do something, too. And I assure you, I have not done a damn thing.
No one's going to do anything.
No, I however, started my new routine.
The extended version.
It's just singing the words to a hopeless place because he can't find the version that actually has the
So I promise this now. I will not ask you guys to do any additional obstacle races with me. I will not ask you to run any races with me because I am not signing up for any additional obstacle races or races until I lose about 55
pounds. But that's this whole show. The premise of this whole show is the fact that you, when we started it, were running obstacle course races.
And I am out of shape. Although I guess I was out of shape then too, right?
Yeah.
There was a period.
Although no, when we started the podcast, you were in okay shape.
Yeah. I'm like 50 pounds overweight. It's just not good. It's not good. I am now fat.
So you don't want to get back into like that shape and run some obstacle course races?
I signed up for a 10K that's going to be in 2 weeks, and I haven't trained for
Jesus,
it. And now I'm going to ask if I can run a 5K they're doing the same day instead of the 10K because I can't run more than a mile and a half without stopping. But I am working out every day. I'm doing the kettlebells. We'll see what happens. The problem, though, is I'm drinking beer and eating cake.
You lift the kettlebell?
He was hoping the masturbating would burn more calories than it actually does, unfortunately.
I'm telling you, my wrists, though, are stronger than ever.
Oh, man.
Between the kettlebells and jerking off, my wrists are super strong. They are super strong.
That has to do a lot with my Polish ancestry.
Oh, I have Polish ancestry as well.
Yep. I looked at 123Me. Is it Me 123?
123Me?
I mean, it's one of those sites. I don't know which one it is.
Is that to identify which Sesame Street character you're related to?
It's like $14. You send in your spit.
We're over.
You send in your spit, and it's $15. And it's all.
Is that 23andMe?
Oh, yeah. 23andMe. All right. Jeez. No, it's the same as Me 123. It's just a knockoff.
But he's been masturbating.
It's just guys that come by in a van. You give them a vial of your stool, and they tell you what your what your ancestry is.
Looks like you ate healthy yesterday. You must be.
But I did it about a while back, and they just gave me like Eastern European, but they didn't really tell me the country of origin. And it turns out it's Poland, as well as Ireland. And a little bit of Scandinavian. Now, there's been a running thing with Donnie about whether or not he is Cherokee Don or Don Pulowski. We haven't been able to figure it out. And so, Don, I guess back in January, December, maybe you got a Christmas gift. I think that's maybe what it was. And a lot of these episodes have been on Patreon, so we haven't really talked about it as much as we probably
We've
could
been charging
have.
People.
But Don finally sent it in, got the results back. And the question is he truly part of the original folks that were on this country, that were in this land? Or is he from a different land?
Much like most
that
of us.
That was a great setup right there.
He believes he is part Indian and is, in fact, 0% Indian.
Now
he's closer to being from India than an American Indian.
I really am.
So unsurprisingly, looking at Don, you would say, I bet he might be British or Irish. And the answer is, of course he is, asshole. 48.3%.
I'm so much British and Irish, I believe that I may be a British or Irish citizen. I'm not. I'm actually not sure.
35% French or German from Switzerland. I don't even know where Iberia is, but I promise you where it's not. North America. 0.2%. And then broadly Northwestern European, 15%. Southern European and broadly European, 0.6%. None of that is surprising, Don.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I think we all kind of fit, more or less.
Well, I find that... So I went over and I showed these results to my grandmother.
64% Chinese.
So my grandmother pulls out this family tree and proceeds to give me this family tree. And it's like this thick book. She's like, yeah, one of our relatives pulled all these documents like going back to the 1700s and was able to trace everything back to the 1700s. And I was able to trace back a relative that came from Scotland. So I've got that, I guess, in there as well.
Well, you're, yeah, the British, yeah. Ireland, you do.
So, there, I mean, this didn't, yeah, this really didn't tell me, I think, much of anything.
So
other
we
than,
spent a few hundred episodes saying Cherokee Don.
Yeah.
Well, I also.
We can still keep it there.
0%.
But it also doesn't show any, because I think that they have difficulty tracking the North American DNA, I guess.
No, whatever it takes you so to see that, Don.
They actually have narrowed it down. So United Kingdom, so it still could be Scottish. So.
Yes, yes.
But then Switzerland is kind of where they're saying for French and German. So, yeah, you're part Swiss.
Yeah.
I was excited that you were going down that story because I thought you were going to say, fill out your family tree, and there's all these Indian stuff, and you're like, and this is how I found out I was adopted.
Well, so you, I mean, you've done the 23andMe, right?
Oh, yeah.
No, he did 1, 2, me, and 3.
1, 2, 3, me.
Sorry. My apologies. You're
some
right.
Some guy in a van.
I don't know how. I don't.
You look black to me.
Some guy in a van came up, kissed me, and then left. Oh, he got charged $15. But it was a deal.
So I found out I'm Polish and I have cold sores.
So this will show you any sort of ancestors that have connected, like, on 23andMe. I know that I have ancestors from my dad's side of the family that have done this. I'm not linked to any of them.
No.
Oh, man.
I am not linked to any of them, and I don't know why.
Well,
I can't find anybody with my last name that's linked to this service. I'm not related to them, I don't think.
Oh, man.
But so my wife, she paid for the health screening version of this. So, like, you can, like, see if you are, like, predisposed to, like, pre-onset Alzheimer's and, like, cancers and all that
stuff. I don't want to know. I'd never want to know.
Well, I'm just clicking buttons when I'm filling this thing out,
Jesus.
As if I'm like, yeah, sure. Then I went back and went, maybe I don't want to know this.
Yeah, I don't want to know any of that.
But my wife said that she paid extra because she wanted to
She's
know.
Counting down the days.
I'm like, are you counting down the days until my demise? I think the answer to that is yes.
She's like, healthy motherfucker.
Good news is I'm not predisposed to pre-onset Alzheimer's, and I don't meet any of the criteria for the cancer, so I'm back smoking.
Nice. Perfect. Are you honestly back smoking?
No. Oh. No.
I didn't know if you were like, my wife quit smoking for like 5 years, and now she's like, I'm just going to go downstairs every 10 minutes. Like,
no,
okay.
I'm not. I'm really into Savage Races now.
So what are we going to call you? We can't call you Cherokee Don.
You have to come up with some sort of Scottish nickname.
Donnie UK. Donnie UK.
None of these are going to work.
Donnie UK.
We'll have to take some votes from our listeners. On our Patreon page.
Ah, just the man. Patreon page. Yeah,
only they get to, only paying members get to vote.
Oh, yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
So the week after I totaled my car.
Oh, yeah.
I went out of town with the Subtastics.
Now, was this
on a
one
tour.
Of was this one of those things where you were like, you were going out of town, like it was pre-planned, or your wife was like, you know, Maybe you should go out of town for a
so
little while.
So I scheduled a couple shows. No, this was pre-planned. This was a long planned trip. Bass player, his whole family is from, not whole family, most of his family is from Chicago, so he's like, I really want to play Chicago.
Has he done a DNA test?
He did not, but I guarantee you he's 100% Polish.
Okay.
I went to Chicago. I also went to Detroit on a Friday, Saturday. Now, this was after my incident, so I decided it was probably a good idea, even though this had nothing to do with the incident,
I was not going to drink alcohol. You were not a fleeing felon at this point in time.
No, right? I'm not a felon at all. I did not get arrested.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to make sure that you weren't...
I was tired. I made a poor decision.
You weren't running from anything.
No, I wasn't running from anything other than myself. But Detroit was super fun, and I was... we got there right before we were supposed to check in. We checked in. We stayed in a nice hotel that was way too nice for three people playing, you know, punk rock music in a bar. And so we get to this bar, and it looks like a small sports bar. They have a little stage in the corner. We're like, okay, this is fine. This will be a good time. When the bands start coming in or whatever, we're like, hey man, where do you want us? To the guy that set up the show, the owner / bartender guy. Hey, where do you want us to set up our merch? And he looks at us, and he's been super nice up to now, and he gets dead serious. He goes, not in the fucking pool table.
Whoa.
Like, okay. We're not going to use the pool table. I understand. Thank you for telling me where not to put it, but where do you want us to put it then? And, you know, so he gave us like a table, so you can put it there, but don't put anything on the pool table. Didn't I tell you that? I'm like, I know it now. Don't touch the pool table. No, there's only one pool table in this bar, and it's fine.
Was it a really nice pool table, though?
I think it's just because it's the only one, and I'm sure that there have been pool tables ruined. It happens a fair amount of time, I'm sure, in bars where people drink heavily. So anyway, he was like, so don't. And I looked around. There's signs everywhere, but they're not nicely written signs. They're like the final warning signs everywhere. So like by the pool table, it's like, don't put anything on the fucking pool table but pool balls. You're like, okay. And by the soundboard, there's these things like, hey, asshole, don't touch any knob but volume. It's like, okay. Everywhere there are signs. So I'm like, oh, this guy really wants to take control of his bar. And so we, the first two bands play. In between each band, normally when you go see a band, in between bands, there's other noise. They'll play music in the background, a DJ, or they'll, you know, if you're in a sports bar, maybe they'll just put the game back on or whatever. So there's some noise other than bands setting up equipment and awkwardly talking. Not here. No sound in between each band. So it's just us setting up. We're the third band out of four. We're sitting on stage. Me and the bass player standing there. We've tuned. We're ready. Our drummer's just fucking with something real quick, and we're getting ready to get started. And we hear, motherfucker! We're like, oh shit! And the bartender
somebody put
runs
someone
out.
On a tool bay on a pool table.
The bartender runs out. The guy, from the drummer from the previous band, had put a drink on the pool table, and he goes, "You asshole! You're right in the front of the fucking sign!" And he grabs the guy's beer. Now this is his own bar. Grabs the guy's beer, throws it on the ground, and explodes everywhere. And he goes, "Get the fuck out of my bar!"
My God!
And the guy's like, "Hey man, I'm sorry." He's like, "No, get the fuck out! I don't want to hear it. Get the fuck out!" And so it's from the second band. So everyone that came to see the second band left with him. And we're getting ready to get started. Now I didn't care about that. I mean, I care that there's no one there, but whatever. That I get all these people left. But it was like, now there's this weird energy. And so that was just like us there. They're like, "So we're some Tastics. Hope you really want to hear a song. Let's go." It was the most awkward. Awkward start to a set, but it was a good night. Other than that, I thought that was pretty funny. And the guy loved us. He loved us.
What was the pay night? What was the payday on that?
We got. I don't like to discuss money, Tony, but I will say that we did make money on that.
$13.50,
but not enough to cover the hotel we stayed in, or the food that we ate. We did eat at a Polish restaurant there that was amazing.
Oh wow,
Polonia. If you're in Detroit, Hamtramck to be precise.
You were in Detroit or Chicago?
Hamtramck the first night. Detroit, outside of Detroit.
Oh.
And then Chicago was Saturday. That's when we hung out with Paul's family. It was a great time. Amazing show at the Liars Club. Now, I did want to say, I said before I went on this trip, I told you guys, like, I'm taking a sabbatical from alcohol because I need to play well. I need to think clearly. Mm-hmm. And I was going to wait until I'm 50 to drink again. That was what I think I said.
Yes, oh, wow. I have the text message.
I made it 8 days. I made it 8 days because at the first bar in Detroit, we finished our set. And the scary bartender guy came over and handed me a beer. So what are you going to do? I'm not going to be like, hey, man, I'm not drinking right now. I was like, I'm going to gladly take this beer before he throws it at me. So I did drink that. And then when we went to Chicago, I was very good at when we played. But then the next day, we decided to go to a White Sox game and just hang out in the city all day. I was not anywhere near a car, so I did have a couple drinks.
Yeah.
And I ate a shit ton of Chicago food, guys. A shit ton of Chicago food.
Yeah, and what is the ruling on Chicago food?
Well, there's three things I ate that are considered Chicago classics. Now, of course, I had to have deep dish pizza. Mm-hmm. And
I went to Pizzeria Uno's.
Well, that was going to say, up until I went on this trip, the only deep dish pizza I'd ever really had was Uno's.
Yeah.
And I did not care for it.
Oh, it's terrible.
But it's just like if you're going to say, I don't like New York style pizza because I had Sbarro's. Like, it's not really the right choice. I went to...
why is that not the right choice?
It's Sbarro's is terrible. Lou Malnati's. Amazing. I loved the deep dish pizza. Horrible heartburn from it, but I don't blame the pizza. I blame my body and being old. But it was very good. Have you guys ever had an Italian beef sandwich?
No.
No.
It's shaved beef and then dipped like in an au jus, but you basically soak the entire roll and everything so it just falls apart in your hands and they cover it with hot peppers. Amazing. That was great.
And then how was the Applebee's or Chili's?
I did not go to either Applebee's or Chili's, but I did eat a lot at that White Sox game. I basically just walked around. I didn't watch any baseball. I just kept walking in circles eating.
How's that stadium?
I did have the Chicago Dog. It's very nice. It was actually a very nice stadium. I forgot the name of it now because it's got a new sponsor, so it's, you know, whatever the
Comiskey
company is.
Park.
It's not. It's a company name now. I don't remember what
Sprint
it was.
Sprint Park.
That's it? No, that's not it. Doesn't matter. Point was, I've had a lot of fun. I like
Soldier Field.
Have you guys ever had Chicago Dogs?
I've never been to Chicago, but one time.
Chicago Dog. Always wanted to go.
You don't have to go to Chicago to eat the, quote, Chicago Dog, but it's like the hot dog, and they put tomatoes and hot peppers.
No,
and
don't want any of that.
Oh, it was amazing. It was so good, but it was a mess. I don't know how you eat it without having to basically eat like a salad.
What do you put on your hot dog?
I'm just a mustard and ketchup kind of guy, so I don't really put a lot.
Me too.
I'll put like occasional
sauerkraut. No. You put ketchup on a hot dog?
Yes.
Go fuck yourself. That is terrible.
Absolutely. You
ketchup and mustard.
No, mustard's great on a hot dog. No one puts ketchup on hot dogs.
I prefer ketchup over any other condiment.
I like
when it comes
mustard.
To my hot dogs.
This is the reason there are no more episodes of this podcast. That is the worst thing I've ever heard from the other two.
What about your like Italian sausage?
I like a hot mustard, a spicy mustard, or always onions
and
peppers.
And then some ketchup.
No.
I put ketchup
in my... You do not put ketchup on an Italian sausage.
Absolutely.
Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Of the mustard. You got to have some ketchup.
There's no way that's not... that you can't do that.
I absolutely put ketchup and mustard on my
absolutely. I mean, that's insane not to.
Ketchup on an Italian sausage.
Yeah, we had them on a NASCAR trip. And I put ketchup on them.
Yeah. That's
why I bought.
Speaking of NASCAR, I can't believe I'm not joining you guys. This trip coming up sounds...
We don't have any idea where we're going yet. We have not booked it.
I had something booked, but the 7 days. Got in the way.
I think it's because everyone that was going previously dropped out. So I think it's just me and Don.
I talked to you yesterday, and we had a good plan. And then you were like, "Oh, that's the weekend of my anniversary."
Yeah. But we can go to Dover. Dover will work.
All right, we can figure that out.
Dover's not my anniversary.
I might be in for Dover.
It's not far.
It's a one night trip.
Yeah, it'll be a one night.
Yeah,
probably.
Like a one night.
Is Coach Nick going?
I don't have to tell him.
All right. Well, if he's not going, I am in.
Sweet.
Wait, are you guys gonna do the RV?
No, I think
if it's just the two of us, no.
Yeah, I think because we're going to Dover, we won't do the RV.
Oh man! Well,
unless I can get like a real cheap.
What about a party bus?
Like the mother's party bus?
Yeah.
What, you think it'll take us to Dover?
Well, why not? They'll do it. If you pay enough, they'll take you wherever you want to go.
If it's not time for news, I got a quick thing about my first vacation of the summer.
Oh, Tony always likes to get a lot of vacations. He's a very traveled man.
And I went by myself to Asheville, North Carolina. First vacation I've gone by myself to in a number of years. As you guys remember on previous episodes of this podcast, I've talked about vacationing alone in Vegas. This one, I decided I needed 2 or 3 days away from
people. I have never vacationed alone.
I mean, I haven't since I had kids. Other than like, I mean, that's not alone. I go with, like, we've gone to NASCAR and other stuff. That's not really vacation.
That's not, but you're not alone.
Right.
Tony went by himself.
I invited folks and everybody
turned. You did invite me, and
Wait a minute. I didn't get invited.
You got invited.
No, I did not.
I'm pretty sure you got invited.
I did not get invited.
I'm pretty sure I said I'm going for some hiking and beer drinking in Asheville.
Not a chance.
And you said you're out.
I that's not true.
There's a chance I did not ask you.
Jesus.
There's about a 98% chance.
But
I didn't
it's
ask.
Because I would have assumed that your wife would have said no. He can't.
I mean, that's
go.
Probably true, but you could have at least invited me.
All right. Well, it's an annual trip going forward where I hike and then I drink beer within a block radius. In downtown Asheville. So I will invite you going forward only to have you say no, and then I'll go by myself where I will jack off four times in 2 nights.
Four times.
Four times 2 nights.
Sounds like a guy who works from home.
Potentially. Potentially more, but I'm not going to talk about that.
That's
potentially more. I also did you ever do, you guys never...
You're getting ready to do your thing, and then you just hang yourself with a tie a little bit? That?
I did a...
Oh, wait. What are we talking about?
I did a sensory tank.
No.
Yes, I did the...
Did you jerk off in the sensory tank?
I did not, but I thought about it. And then I'm like, how many people have jacked off in this tank?
What is a sensory tank?
I'm like, I'm pretty sure people have jacked off here. And I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I'm thinking about it, but I'm not going to do it.
What is the sensory tank?
I did think about it. I did. I thought about it. So it's basically a tank they fill with salt water. Is it salt?
I think it was regular water. It's all those people jacked off.
And you basically float, and then it's supposed to, what's the actual description of that? I can't even...
I honestly know what you're talking about. I've never done it, and I'm shocked that you decided to do this.
I decided to do it.
Oh, my God.
Minutes.
I got pictures pulled up here. What the hell is that? You did that?
Yeah, it wasn't
he floated in a coffin, and that was fun.
It is like a coffin.
Yes, yeah, deprivation.
Deprivation.
People totally masturbate, don't they?
Oh yeah,
I know they did. I know they
you
did.
Can bring up a picture of anything, and the answer is someone masturbates.
They say it's soundproof. By the way, they say it's soundproof. It wasn't soundproof.
How much noise are you making when you're masturbating?
He didn't have the music, so he had to just make it with his mouth.
Yeah, it's a tank filled with salt water at basically skin temperature, and this goes back to like 1950s.
Skin temperature?
Yeah.
That's the most romantic sounding temperature.
And it's supposed to basically give you like
an uncontrollable erection.
So there I was. In a sensory tank. Floating around.
The soundboard needs to never go away.
I'm trying to decide.
I know. I'm glad that's still on there.
And I'm trying to decide, how do I pass the time? I got 90 minutes in this.
90 minutes?
Joe Rogan is a big fan of these things. He's always, but I think he goes in there
high. Rogan is a douchebag.
He's very well known.
Did you go in high?
I did not, because I don't get high. Now it sounds like I get high.
Yeah, it does. I feel like you're high right now.
I might be high from the beer, but...
I'm only high in life, gentlemen.
I practice gratitude. Namaste.
Three times, four times a day.
So, yeah, I'm in this tank, and all I'm thinking is, like, when am I getting out of this tank? So I asked the lady beforehand. She's like, it's like a spa, basically. And she's like, real Asheville hippie-ish. She's like,
I picture Tony.
That's exactly me. It's me, water, and floating in
for
tank.
90 minutes, just bored out of your fucking mind.
I'm so bored.
I didn't even stay in a pool for 90 minutes.
And then I got salt water in my eyes, so my eyes started burning. And she had like a towel that she said, "Oh, I'll put by the door. That way, if it gets salt in your eyes, you can get the salt out by with the towel."
By the way, do you mean somebody else's semen when you refer to salt in your eye? You mean someone else's semen?
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that people have done that. But I couldn't find the towel because I had floated away from the door. So then I spent at least 25 minutes trying to find the door so I could find the towel. Meanwhile, my eyes
are trapped inside.
Meanwhile, my eyes are burning from the salt. And I think people like they reflect. They do a lot of reflecting during this.
You don't
want
to do any of that.
I didn't do it. All I could think is like, when's this going to be over? So I can go drinking.
I started doing a lot of reflecting and I kept trying to drown myself. But it wasn't enough goddamn water to keep my head up.
The salt water made me float. Unfortunate.
I kept pushing my head down and it kept popping back
I'm
up.
I'm surprised that's what you chose to do on your solo vacation.
This is how sad and overweight I am and out of shape. I didn't float. I was actually sinking. No, I did float. That's a good thing. But I went hiking. My goal actually was to go down to Asheville and hike in Black Mountain, North Carolina. There is a trail called the Graybeard Trail on Graybeard Mountain. It's been a goal of mine when I lived in Asheville to reach the summit of this mountain. It's about a 6-hour round trip hike, and it's actually fairly technical, not actual mountain climbing, but it's a fairly technical trail. And I've always given up because I've always given up. There I am as Homer Simpson. Don is showing a picture.
I'm just finding more pictures of this stupid tank. So, sorry.
I've always given up because I didn't have like 6 hours to dedicate. So I'm like, okay, I'm here by myself. Let me just I'm going to dedicate the 6 hours it takes to climb this trail. I can do it. Even though I haven't been working out for the last few months, it's not that big of a deal. I made it about a quarter mile and I
I'm not doing this anymore.
I gave up. So next year, I'm going to attempt the Grey Beer
Trail. You went all the way down there and you didn't finish it.
I didn't finish it, no. I was like, I'd rather be drinking.
So next year, in a tank
why couldn't you drink while you did it? 6 hours round trip.
Because I'm not in good shape.
Three hours one way.
Yeah, I'm not in good shape.
What's that? How many miles is that?
It's only about 4.5
It's all uphill, obviously, so it'd be very difficult.
Uphill one way.
It's four.
I go down real fast.
It's 4.8 miles one way.
Oh, we can do that.
It's actually not. It's pretty tough, but it's not impossible. Next year, then I'll invite you guys.
I am not going to get an invite.
You guys only do the sensory tank while you're down there.
Oh man, I can't wait to jerk off at a tank. It's gonna be like 5 minutes in, like all done in here, all done.
Why jerk?
Where's
off?
That towel?
Why pay extra when I can just masturbate in that Holiday Inn bathtub that?
Or just in a Burger King.
Or just. And a Burger King.
Well, guys, that means we've hit almost the end of the show. So as we do every week on our Patreon supported podcast, it's time for Radio for Winners. I'm the newsman! so much better than our old news theme. You know, I didn't know.
He's the newsman!
I didn't even know this guy's dead. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, he's not around any longer.
That's not so good.
Is the Scatman dead?
Yeah.
Yeah, he died years. I think he died like 2 years after this song.
He was found that one dead in a deprivation tank. Unbelievable.
But he looked happy. Can you do a little scatting for us?
No, I cannot, but I can tell you the news. We only have one news story this week.
Although we have two.
Well, I decided we're only going to have one, Don, because the other one's not funny.
All right.
Although neither is anything else we do. I don't know why I bother. By now, everybody's heard about Michael Rotondo.
Everybody's heard.
Michael Rotondo, 30 years old. His parents sued him to get him to move out of their house. And the judge said, yes, not only will you get some money, but we're going to force him to move out by June 1st. And this court case just happened, a week ago?
Yes.
I guess when he finally got his judgment, so he has 2 weeks. Now, he, of course, has been arguing, and he's going to appeal it because he doesn't think it's enough time. Normally, when you get evicted, he knew how long you have to get evicted and how many notices you need to get before you get actually evicted from your house. But the judge said, no, that's fine. Your parents wrote you letters for the last year asking you to move, plus you're 30 years old and you need to move out. So you have till June 1st. As of today, he has not moved because, quote, he can't afford boxes, which I like. That's pretty good. But I was excited. On the internet, I found the letters that they wrote him, and they're pretty good.
I read them. I thought they were a little bit on the weird side, you know.
Well, I mean, the apple doesn't far fall from the tree in this situation.
That's not even how they say that phrase, but I get it.
How do they say it?
You said the apple doesn't far fall from the tree.
Coffee grinds. Grounds. Grains.
Coffee grains.
Coffee grains.
So, you know, the first letter that they had, they'd written five. I think three of them are on here. So, 2nd of February of this year, 2018. Michael, after a discussion with your mother, we have decided that you must leave this house immediately. You have 14 days to vacate. You will not be allowed to return. We will take whatever actions are necessary to enforce this decision.
Hey, was that a letter to... Was that from my wife?
That was from your wife, to you. This is how you find out. I have papers to give you after this.
Crap.
And so then, of course, that didn't work. So, 2 weeks later, they wrote him another letter. Michael Joseph Rotondo, you are hereby evicted from our address, effective immediately. You have been given, you have heretofore been our guest, and there is no lease or agreement that gives you any right to stay here. On the advice of our lawyer, we have decided to give you 30 days from this date to remove all your possessions from our house and evacuate.
I'm not going to lie. Premises. Any wife out there could easily take these letters, just change it to your husband's names if you don't want him to live in your house any longer.
Yep.
Further after that, they sent him another letter that says, here is $1,100 from us to you so you can find a place to stay. Now, first off, that's a weird amount. One thing was $1,000 or $1,500. Who gives $1,100? It's just like, weird. This is what we had in our pocket.
Maybe there was an apartment, like $1,100 a month.
I don't know. That still seems like a weird amount. And honestly, $1,000 a month, you're lucky to find an apartment for $1,000 a month.
Fair.
But still, that doesn't matter. He's 30 and should know better.
But he also took the money.
He did take the money.
And he won't tell anybody what he did with the money.
Well, in the letter with the money, they gave him some advice on what to do now. They said, hey, first, you need to organize some things you need for work and to manage an apartment. Note, you will need stuff. You must arrange the date and time through your father so he can set this up with you.
Now, he was married before, right?
No, he was not married. He had a child with a woman he was not dating or married to.
God, what does that woman
and
look
he lost
like?
Custody of the child.
What does that woman look like?
Well, he looks a lot like Fat Meatloaf.
He really kind of does.
With a pretty bad beard. Did you watch any of the interview with him on CNN?
I loved it.
He is the most awkward person. He's drinking water during the interview, and the woman on the
go ahead, finish your water.
Yeah, have some water. Go for it. Go ahead.
So at age 30, how many of your kids will remain in your house? Do you think? How many done?
I'm burning the house down.
I'm thinking. I don't think there's a good chance my daughter is still in the house.
There will probably be somebody in the house, but that's why I have this beat lab out here. Because I assume that I won't have any of them living here. I'll be living out here because they will have taken over the house. You know, like an infestation. Like, you know, you gotta find another place to go because you can't stay there. I'll be out here.
Children are like roaches. That's what you're saying.
I do like what you've done with the place, though. All this cap stuff you have going on. It's good thing you're not a bandwagon.
I didn't mention it. I was not going to mention it because that would guarantee a loss.
It's a lot of stuff.
Though. I only paint murals of winners.
Oh, yeah.
I only paint murals of winners.
I mean, you have banners here. You have five jerseys.
There's a lot.
That's pretty interesting.
I mean, that with just the mural alone means that they're going to win.
Oh, yeah.
Stanley Cup.
I did not bring it up. Sorry, Gil.
They're going to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, let's get in the salt tank. Namaste.
Are there speakers in this thing?
No. I don't know what I was thinking. I really don't. I was like,
did you tell your wife you did this?
Yeah, she was like, why did you do that?
She's like, you had a bathtub. Just put water in the bathtub, Tony.
I was looking to relax.
Am I not enough for you, Tony? You have to seek salvation just somewhere else.
Laying in a dark, thinking about like, man, I hope there's... Because I was thinking like, I don't know how many times they washed us there. Did they wash?
That's why I took my power washer with
them. Are you fully naked in the tank?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on.
You got to be naked. It's a full experience. What an experience it was, huh?
How many times do you think you look at this nutsack to see if they were floating?
Oh, man.
Salt water's great.
Hey, why is the left one heavier than the right one?
I think I got testicular cancer.
Oh, man.
I should get my 1-2-3 and me taken care of.
I'm 39.9% Polish.
God.
I can't believe you're not Cherokee Don going forward.
I mean...
I feel like that's the big reveal on this podcast is that Cherokee Don is in fact not Cherokee.
I did find a very famous relative that I'm related to. I'll have to share that on another episode.
John Wilkes Booth. Well, I'm 48% Polish. I am 33% English and 100% hot-blooded.
Hey, by the way, how awkward am I at parties?
Even at your daughter's party?
Yeah.
You were fine until the end where you decided to give like a speech, kind of?
Yeah, it was weird.
But it was borderline get out, but they were like, everyone, you need to just make sure you go when it's time, but it's not time. So there's some cake coming up. We're like, what are you doing? This is a two-year-old
party. He was over in the corner. His wife asked for him to do the speech, and then she's like, will you do it instead? Because I think that you might be able to do it better.
It was not good. It was not good.
All right, see you all next week when Tony brings back my power washer.
In 3.5 months.
Next week.
See you next week. Keep waiting.
This is off their No End in Sight album. Kind of like this podcast.
No start in sight. I know what he meant by you know who. Three, two, one, go.
You can follow. You can. Contact Radio for Winners on Twitter at Radio for Winners, Facebook.com. Search for Radio for Winners, or if you want to send us an email, hit us up on the Gmail, rfwshow@gmail.com.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another happy ending from the good people, Jimmy James Incorporated.